no fucking clue who this guy is, so screw it. Good luck. Guys.
Shout out to our boy Yannick Sinner, Italian taking home the Aussie Open. The least Italian.
All Italians are tennis players now. Haven't you realized it? It's not football, it's tennis. 20 years ago, everybody was a sailor because Luna Rossa was doing good in America's
Cup. What about like the skiing evolution with Tomba? Like everybody loved alpine skiing, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the boys weren't aware, but we were recording this whole time. My name is Farhad. I'm the host that loves you most. This is episode number 237 of the Turin Giants podcast, season 10. Thank you all for being with us for 10 seasons. Longest running podcast dedicated to Juventus in English. I love saying that every episode. Here with me are probably my favorite rotation. I'm not going to lie to you. Uncle Giovanni here. And return of Matt Coco. What's up, guys?
What up, what up? How you doing?
Hey, man.
Good, man. Good to hear you, boys. We've got a lot to talk about. All right. Yeah, as you heard, you know, there's a lot of confusion in tennis world today. We will talk about Juventus' newest acquisition, Carlos Alcaraz, who just happens to share a name with one of the most talented athletes, period. Like, if you guys have seen this tennis player play, it's absolutely bonkers.
Like, that guy's going to be a name, brand name for the next, like, 15 years, so.
But I don't know if he's a brandable guy, though. Like, I've seen him play, and we rooted for him with my wife, and, you know, US Open was super cool, super fun last year. I don't know, man. He's not there yet. He's not really marketable yet.
But you know, I mean, this isn't a tennis podcast. I'm not a tennis expert, but I feel I feel like whoever is the most successful tennis player or the top players, they're just like very easy to market because it's such like an appealing sport from like the wealth perspective. They get like awesome sponsorships like Rolex and, you know, Lacoste and all these like very nice things. So it's just like cool. Like this person just gets to go flaunt. For Yannick Sinner, I was talking with my buddy. Like, if you haven't seen his GQ shoot, dude looks awesome. It just looks great.
It's pretty ridiculous how elitist tennis is. Like, you get a tag watch sponsorship right away. You sponsor shit that like regular people don't even know about. It's like, you know, brand of yachts, just a yacht in their photo. Like, what are you advertising? You know. But anyways, we'll talk about that. We recorded an episode a couple of weeks ago. Unfortunately, the power cut out, so we apologize. But shout out to Sam Adamo, who finished the episode like a pro by himself. Giovanni, something happened to him. My power cut out. I'm like in the middle. It was literally 0 degrees outside, and I'm in a garage. Boys, I got sick for 3 days like a dog after that. It was awful. And I'm telling you, I'm sitting in my thermal, I'm sitting in my long johns, and I'm covered up, but it's still freezing. Chicago is going through a cold snap, and I'm recording in the garage. It was awful. I hate being sick. Like, once you turn 30, it just sucks ass.
Podcast or die, man. You know what I mean?
Hey man, we 10 years is not a joke. We went through a lot of sacrifices to record this podcast. And speaking of Matt Coco, he was the OG. He was the first official co-host of the podcast back when we started in 2013. Welcome back, buddy. Always a pleasure to see you. And thank you. Speaking of returns of the OGs, I just got a shipment of these hoodies. These babies are back. Turin Giants hoodies are back. We're going to put them on turingiants.com. A lot of people are asking, and literally, you know how influencers are like, a lot of people have been asking me, but people literally have been asking me when the large is going to come back in stock. So here they are. If you're watching on, if you're watching this on Spotify, you can see the video as well. Speaking of that, ways to listen to us is pretty much every podcast platform out there, plus sometimes YouTube, sometimes not. Turin Giants at Turin Giants, Instagram at Juve Podcast, Twitter, and let's begin, shall we?
Let's do it.
Speaking of Instagram, Matt Coco was asking me why we're doing player birthdays, and that's something I didn't get to last episode, and I was teasing it the whole episode. I was saying, we're going to celebrate Lick Steiner's birthday. And what's going on with Joanne here? I'm going to mute him for a second. But anyways, we never got to Lick Steiner, who was celebrating his 40th birthday last week. And I just wanted to, I don't know, Matt was asking me why Lick Steiner and why a birthday.
No. Whoa. Because this is going to be some slander. And I don't want it to sound like I was anti-celebrating Lick Steiner's birthday. I was like, why is that a topic? I love the post. I love when you post about Lick Steiner. And I love Lick Steiner. Uh-huh. But the fact that you were like, okay, we got topics to talk about today. First off, Lick Steiner's birthday. We didn't get to it. I'm like, okay, like, cool. Happy birthday, Lick Steiner.
I don't know, because I wanted to start the show with, you know, not so aggressively. You know, I want to kind of ease into it and maybe talk about something that's not
a little bit of nostalgia.
Giovanni, your audio really got bad for some reason. You from your phone or what?
Yeah, I'm on my phone now. I had to switch because I couldn't hear you guys. So
I got you. Yeah, we can hear ourselves if you can do something.
Might need to put some headphones in to get that feedback cut.
Yeah. All right. We fixed some of the issues. But anyways, let's get to Lick Steiner. He turned 40 years old. And the reason is, Matt, is because once a Juve player follows me, there's so much ass-kissing going on. I'm like, I'm not letting that shit go, you know? We're texting like buds, you know, he's dropping me likes here and there. It's just so hilarious. Out of old people, out of old ex-players, you know, like you strike up this friendship with Stefan Lick Steiner. He's really cool. He's a really nice guy online. But anyways, let's talk about him a little bit. So he's the third most capped player in the history of Switzerland. Just huge.
National team?
National team. That's correct. He started when he was super young, and I put a note here. Can you imagine young Lick Steiner? Like, we kind of caught him when he was already a little mature, you know, in his career, and he was still an asshole. Can you imagine young Lick Steiner coming up in the ranks and just being a bully with that big old neck of his and crazy runs?
He's the least Swiss person that I know. Like, he's like complete opposite of who a Swiss person should be or act. Which is great, man. Like, he's awesome. Like, 100%. Like, he's the most for real player. I love him, man. I love him.
But how can you say he's the least Swiss person if the guy retired and started making watches?
Which is great, but like, character-wise, man, completely different. He would get angry quickly. Like, yeah, man.
We missed that bully. Like, you know, every team needs a bully that you can call your own. I don't think we've had a bully ever since, have we? It's been pretty low key in bully department.
You don't really have someone who scraps. Really. Like, you need that person who's ready to scrap.
Gatti, yeah, maybe.
Gatti definitely. He would definitely hop in if it got ugly.
Vlahovic, for sure.
I don't know. Vlahovic is too pretty to fight. I don't know. Yeah. He's big, but there's just dudes that are too pretty to fight.
He's a big dude, but like, and he's jacked, but. Yeah.
He would wreck someone.
Wreck for sure.
And
I mean,
tall,
one,
like, yeah.
One kickboxing, one Muay Thai kick from Vlahovic, you're done. But anyway, let's get back to Lick Steiner, and then we'll share a couple of favorite moments of Lick Steiner. So he's so the funny thing is when he was signed for Juventus, Marotta, right? He signed him for 10 million in three installments. Do you guys remember the installment era?
Well, we still don't. Don't we still technically do that stuff?
Yeah, you can still do that.
You can still do the installments.
Yeah, but Marotta was the king of it, right? Like, signing him for 10 million euro and then doing that in installments is just kind of ridiculous, right?
Yeah, but that's like that's the only way you pay, man. Like, there is no cash and carry anymore. You can't, like, it's
yeah,
not
that's
like
true. Especially after the pandemic. Yeah,
even before that, I think it was just like you just like amortize it over years, especially if you're a team that's like traded in the stock market, you need to amortize that. Like that way it comes off the books. But he was a great buy. Like, he was super underrated. You got him, and he overperformed his expectations coming in.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I was putting him in like, you know, the top 10, top 5, even top 5, like best outside backs at the time.
Oh, 100%. There was some seasons that he was definitely in the top of Europe.
He scored the goal of the year in, I mean, a goal of the group stage in the Champions League. Actually posted it, the one that where they were playing against Borussia. Good luck pronouncing that last word. Mönchengladbach, right?
Yeah.
That was the goal of the year. Yeah.
That pass from Pogba, that scoop pass, that was so beautiful. I posted it on our Instagram.
Oh yeah,
you remember that first touch?
Those are the good times.
Those pink jerseys. Speaking of nice jerseys, Matt is rocking the stripe. This is beautiful.
I love this jersey.
How would you describe it to people who are listening and not watching?
Oh man, it's like it feels like silky smooth.
No, not like that, you weirdo. What does it look like?
Oh, it feels great.
It looks like a strawberry shortcake ice cream. Like if strawberry cheesecake, I like it, right? But in like the swirls, I like it, man. It just reminds me of ice cream.
It does kind of have that texture of like kind of a, you know, when you ice cream's got kind of like a little texture to it, right?
Giovanni made it weird. it looked like ice cream. How would you guys rank this year's jerseys? I think all three are pretty strong, sweet, right?
It's a very strong offering this year.
Strong batch.
Finally, anyways, went back to a regular pattern.
Oh yeah,
which like. Why we haven't had that in forever. Even if they did put a little texture on it, at least we got like actual stripes as opposed to like weird wonky stripes.
Or like, a lot of people are upset about.
No, yeah. This year's was chef's kiss, man. I love the jerseys this year.
A lot of people were upset about the lightning bolts on the Jeep, but I'll never forget. First thing my little son, who's 8, first thing he said, "Oh, those are awesome." You know, so they kind of know who they're marketing to. So he, I mean,
exactly.
It ain't people over 30. I mean, we're kind of like the back. We're the afterthought. Yeah, we're the afterthought.
Wallet. We're the wallet.
So. Exactly.
I mean, I was the same thought, right? It's like I didn't like the Jeep with the little lightning bolts, but yeah, kids love it.
I would do without it too. It doesn't do anything for me, but it is what it is.
And kind of finish up with Lick Steiner. He is the, how do I say that? This is awful. He's the non-Italian footballer with the most Serie A wins. I believe he won 7. Yeah. Over 200 appearances for Juve. Right. And he scored the first goal at our new stadium, if you guys remember that day.
I do remember that, yes.
Yeah, the Pirlo pass. That was beautiful. Pirlo,
Pirlo pass.
So Stefan Lichtsteiner is a legend who happens to follow us on Instagram, and he kind of etched himself in the ethos of Juve. And I was telling Matt before the show how he was legendary for irritating Celtic players on every corner. If you guys go back, I couldn't find anything on YouTube, but the way he was defending corners and the way he was agitating every single player around him was hilarious. They couldn't do anything about it. One more thing I remember from Lick Steiner is one time he was so exhausted, he literally looked at Conte from across the field and he did the substitution sign when they swirl their fingers. They cut to Conte. He said no. And the motherfucker just started going harder than he did before. He was asking for a substitution. So,
Happy birthday.
Moving on. We tend to stretch segments here on the Turin Giants podcast. I mean, you know what? We got time to burn. We're here for it. Boys, I have a surprise for you both. I know you both are. It's a quick quiz. Stay with us, listeners. We're going to get to the good stuff. I want to dedicate 3 minutes to a quiz. These boys are talking trash, and they're both Star Wars fans. I wanted to run a quick Star Wars quiz for us. Matt versus Giovanni. Who's the biggest nerd? I'm telling you, whoever wins this... Oh, Giovanni just dropped. There he is.
I think we lost Giovanni once you hit the bell. Yeah, there he's back.
Yeah, there he is.
He didn't like that.
All right, let me
right now say I'm backstage.
No, you're good. Cue up the music. Yes, you're good. All right, boys, you ready? So here's how it's gonna go. I'm gonna ask a question. if Giovanni doesn't get it right, the move, the turn moves to Matt. So just so we can save some questions in case we go too long. So till three, what do you say? We'll keep it nice and short, but I do want to see who's the biggest geek in the family. So here we go. Who wants to start?
Well, Matt? First, I think this should preface that you are doing this because you just watched episode 4, not the first, yes. not the yeah, episode not the, 1, but the first the one ninth. That came out. And you didn't, yes. you didn't think it hasn't held up. And Giovanni and I have both think that's ridiculous.
I mean, there's like 1,000 shots fired in the first movie. No one's hit ever.
Yeah,
and it's
the
just
troopers are trash at shooting. They're not well trained or well, like they're just basically meant to go get killed. So
I am sure the next
Jango Fett, okay? Right? They're not don't have the genetics for good shooting.
Okay. Also, you should know that Giovanni has the biggest Star Wars tattoo on his shoulder, which was a really shock for me to find out. But anyways, who wants to? Let's do Matt. Since Matt. All right. Name the actor in the Darth Vader suit. Not the voice, which is James Earl Jones, of course, but do you know the name of the... And if you don't know, we're going to sound a buzzer.
I don't know. I was going to kill me, but I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, same here, man. Like, my brain is just like, it's gone. No, yeah.
All right. His name was David Charles Prowse. He actually died in November 28, 2020, not too long ago.
I remember that being not.
It was actually, oh, you remember that. Yeah, now you remember that.
Yeah.
He was actually a strong man and a weightlifter and a bodybuilder. That's why he was so huge and so scary.
Yeah.
All right, we move on to Giovanni. What was the original title of the Star Wars movie?
Oh, shoot. It was something Starkiller.
Oh, you're almost there, dude.
Yeah, that's all I got. I'll pass this one.
I cannot give it this to you. I'm sorry. Back.
No, it's okay. Matt gets a hint so he can get there. Yeah, and cheating, Matt.
And I was struggling because I didn't remember it, but now that you've said Starkiller, I'm like, I'm blanking too. Give me a second.
You guys suck officially.
Hey, you're really making us look bad.
That's all right. That's all right. That was a tough question. It was The Adventures of Luke Starkiller.
Luke Starkiller.
You were right on pace.
Yeah.
It was sounds like a porn.
Please change it.
All right. Yeah, I know. Matt, moving on to you. 0-0. I think we're gonna go to 2 because I don't think anybody wants to listen to this for half an hour. What nickname does Han Solo call Luke Skywalker that drives him crazy?
Does he just call him kid? Hey.
Hold on. Well done, buddy.
There we go.
Alessandro Belpiero approves. Matt with a lead. Giovanni, who delivers the final blow that destroys the second Death Star?
Lando Calrissian.
That's what's up.
Come on. All right.
The original owner of the Millennium Falcon.
All right, let's see. Matt, let's go to 3. Let's go to 3. That's not fair. It's 1-1.
Yeah.
What is the location of the scene in which we see predominant color of Luke Skywalker's outfit change from white to black? Where did that happen?
Dagobah?
I'll give you multiple choice.
Hold on. City. What was the question again?
What is the location of the scene where Luke Skywalker's outfit goes from white to black? Is it the Cloud City? Is it the Death Star? Is it the droid control ship? Or is it Jabba's palace?
No, so it wasn't Dagobah, which was going to be my guess. I'm going to go Cloud City.
Nine is correct.
Goes to
Giovanni.
Jabba's palace.
Well done, sir. Giovanni with a lead. All right, Matt, moving on. This is getting interesting. Around how old is Yoda when he trains Luke Skywalker in Empire Strikes Back? I'll give you multiple choice. 300 years old, 600 years old, 800 years old, or 900 years old?
I want to say 800.
Giovanni, can you? This is wrong.
I think it's 900. He's like up there.
And the biggest nerd on the Turin Giants podcast is officially Giovanni. Out of all people, man, I love it. Congratulations, my friend.
Man,
this was fun.
I have a copious amount of Star Wars paraphernalia out, around my office that you guys can't be able to. Let's just say that I spend a lot of time doing Star Wars stuff. So
that is shocking.
When
that
you
is
asked
shocking.
Me if I was a fan or not, I thought you were going to like go deep and be like, oh, you know, in episode 3 of like Rebels season 2, who made like a cameo or whatever.
You don't understand. Like, I was going through these questions and I had no idea if this is a difficult question or not, you know. So
they were hot.
Little trivia story. So George Lucas produced was filmed not just Star Wars, but he was involved in Indiana Jones and in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Well, no, actually, in all of them, there are little like red herring, like little Easter eggs between each movie. So, in Temple of Doom, the Chinese club that Harrison Ford escapes from, it's called Club Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Fuck this shit, I'm out. No thanks. Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse
what is
me.
This?
I lost you guys?
No, he's playing songs now.
I'm playing drops.
Somebody
anyways.
take control of it.
All right, boys. That was fun. I think I'm going to add this to our segments because I love putting people against each other. All right, boys. Let's talk Juve. So Empoli is not something, is not a game we were supposed to draw, is it? Your thoughts? Let's spend a couple of minutes on the disaster, on the red card, Milik playing against Empoli for 75 minutes with 10 people. Not a good result. Anything you guys want to add before we?
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say that like. Empoli, I feel like we always have struggles against like very random teams. And I feel like Empoli is just like symptomatic where we come in playing really well prior to that. And then it's like, of course, we're going to have a game where we're just going to stumble and we're not going to make it easy on ourselves. Now, once you get the red card, that just everything's going to go out the window in terms of like what the expectation is, what the form's going to be. And then, to Juve's credit, they still scored first. They just conceded a second goal. I mean,
Matt, you mentioned Yıldız going,
Yeah, I think the problem is, right, is like from a Juve fan perspective, Yıldız has been starting all these games. They're on a winning streak with him starting. It's like, why, if it's not broke, why fix it, right? And maybe it's because you want to give him a little bit of a rest because he's played so many games. He's young. So, you might think, like, let's not overload him early on. And this is the type of game you're playing a team at the bottom of the table or lower on the table. I actually know where Empoli is. They are at the bottom of the table, second to last. Get Milik in. Get him some chances to score. Get his confidence up. Rest your players that you want to for Inter coming in next week. So I get the decision. Obviously, though, it's going to come under scrutiny after the red card. And, I mean, it happens. It's a bad tackle.
He did go on to apologize on it on social media, which is a nice move from a player, But anyways, Giovanni?
Yeah, I mean, but is it going to come under scrutiny? It's not you explained it yourself that there was a need for turnover. Chiesa has been absent all of 2024. Keane was half foot outside of the club, and he was like heading to like Atletico. So I mean, I think especially looking towards the Inter game, Yıldız this was his chance to rest. Nobody could have predicted that Milik was going to slide and then catch the guy with studs like that. And they had to go to VAR to even turn a yellow into a red. So,
and was it Chesney that made the comment after about like throwing shade at the refs for, I think it was Malinovsky, had a similar tackle against Juve. He didn't get a red card. Yep. Like, so it's one of those calls that it's a little bit on the fence, which is why it had to go to VAR. And while I agree, like, yes, studs above the ankle is almost always a red, it's frustrating when it's happened to Juve and they haven't gotten a red.
You guys there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the red, I mean, I don't remember the last time I've seen a red card in 15th minute. That was a...
It happens. It's a freak, you know, it's kind of a freak accident. It's not like it's malicious intent.
Well, I just wish he wouldn't put the team at risk, especially the fact that Inter played Lazio and they won. Inter is on a good run. We kind of have to keep up. You know, this was the only thing we can do now is win against Inter, but we'll get to that later, the game against Inter in the weekend. Yeah, that was rough.
Inter versus Fiorentina. There was some controversy there.
Yes. Of course there was.
There was a kind of a push off that led to the goal.
Correct.
But it is what.
But I feel like that's all it's become. If you check social media between Juve and Inter, that's all it is. I don't know if it's gotten worse in recent years, but the cries for penalties, the constant bickering, the screenshots of the fouls. I mean, even Juve fans, there's Instagram or Twitter users that literally dedicate their whole timeline to arguing with Inter fans about penalties, about fouls, and it's become quite boring. And, you know, people still post screenshots from 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, refereeing is awful. I'll give him that. But that's, you know, I don't know.
The problem now,
maybe they're right,
is we have VAR, right? And that's supposed to fix it, and it didn't. It's actually made it even more of like a controversy and slowing down the game. And so if you're going to implement this new layer of technology, which not even new anymore, it's supposed to improve it, and we haven't seen it improve drastically. We've seen it just actually be more of a hindrance. So at least, like, you know, 15 years ago, okay, a call was bad. Like, it's bad, but it was missed. And over the course of seasons, that's going to even out, like just rule of large numbers, right? Like, it's going to happen to you and it's going to happen for you. But now with VAR, we get to like look at it, analyze it, and it becomes like a whole talking point as to why was it missed, because it's not supposed to be missed anymore.
Yeah, no, I don't like it. I've said that VAR is way overused. It was supposed to be, you know, we got the goal line technology, was just great addition. But there should be a limit. There should be, first of all, a limit on how long it takes to check the call, because I think it's ridiculous, especially in Italy. It's like a whole show. It brings the game to a complete stop for 3-4 minutes.
My argument is, if you can't determine in 10 seconds, if you can't watch a replay and see in 10 seconds that it was definitively different than the call, then it should not be changed.
Yeah.
But hold on, though. But that's not how it works in any sport that has replay, though. Like, we all live in America. We watch football. You think it takes that long for them to go up to the booth and check, like, a football replay? I mean, 10 seconds, I mean, unless we're, you know, just using, like a hyperbole or whatever, that's not doable to me. I would rather have them spend the time and then get it right. To me, there are some pedestrian mistakes that are still being done with the VAR on, and I think that's the big problem. Like, if you're gonna spend the time, at least get it right. And I don't know if that's happening, but I'll say, generally speaking, to me, the VAR has been a lot better than not having the VAR. I think there's a little bit more clarity of things. Maybe it breaks up the game and people don't like that, but, you know, I think it's done more good than bad overall.
Yeah, I don't know. It's every game is different. There's some calls that are not even being checked. You know, there's people who know this stuff way better than me, but I know if I post a thread on Twitter, they literally tell me which calls weren't even called. Like they weren't even checked by VAR. When it comes to Juve, that happens a lot. So the inconsistency needs to go. I feel like it should be if you're trying to go American, if you're Americanizing the sport, then do a challenge by a coach. One challenge, a half. And then the ref can use VAR once a game or twice in one half or once in one half. I don't know. Something needs to be changed. Yeah, and I'm sure
I get what
will.
You're saying. It's obviously different because like NFL has a lot of stoppage. NBA has a lot of stoppage. All the sports that do have challenges have stoppage. So, Serie A does not. So you're going to end up being like, 10 minutes have gone by and now Allegri's throwing the challenge flag. Like you have to have include limits, but that would be hilarious. Like, no, I want you to go back and challenge and look.
Yeah. Well, it's weird. Refereeing everywhere has gone down pretty badly, hasn't it? There's complaints in the NBA. There's complaints in the NFL.
Everywhere.
I mean, EPL. I know EPL.
You want to talk about like fandom and my Twitter timeline with EPL fans is even more, I think, aggressive when it comes to complaining about VAR. And I actually think that some of their, obviously like the Liverpool, like the list, when you heard the tape of the VAR where they said you're supposed to reverse it and the ref didn't. So then they was like, well, too late now. We can't. I do think that level of transparency is actually really helpful in just understanding what goes on in the decision. And like that was in that Liverpool situation was a very clear mistake. But with some of the calls in Serie A, it's like we still don't actually really know what the discussion was. So I think they could do a little bit more there. But I mean, we've gone off topic now to a VAR discussion from Empoli. But
no, that's fine. Let me look at the standings.
I have them up right now, and you know we're 1 point back on Inter. They have a game in hand.
Yeah, that game in hand can bite us in the ass.
But it's a missed opportunity because we would have been technically two games completed before they finished, before they played Fiorentina. And if they have 20 games played at 51 points and we're sitting at 22 games played at 56 points, I think that adds a little bit of like a mentality for Inter being like, oh, we really have to win because we don't want to go in to the match against Juve and potentially like get that gap even wider. Right. So
that's what she said, but let's take a look at the last five games of Juve. All these games, in my opinion, should have been won. And I feel like, you know, out of five games, Salernitana, we won, Frosinone, we won, Sassuolo, Lecce, and then we drew against Empoli. All of these games should have been a win, but you know what? 2 points dropped. That's still not terrible, especially since the games were so, it was such a statement win. Lecce was 3-0, Sassuolo 3-0, Frosinone 4-0, and then Inter are playing. They played Lazio, they beat them 3-0. Napoli, they beat them 1-0, but I think Napoli is showing me. That's the Supercoppa, right?
Yes.
The one in Saturday. Oh, okay. So never mind. And then they won against Fiorentina. Tougher games for them, but whether you want it or not, they're a tougher team.
They got like 80% win rate over those five games. So, and we know that the issue with Empoli was that red card. I think 11-11 Juventus destroys Empoli. It's just, it is what it is. We all know that Inter is the better team. Like, that's the thing. They're a better team.
We're just waiting for a slip up, I guess.
Yeah. But what happened?
That's the thing. It kind of goes back to that 2011 season, right? Where like Milan was cruising and we didn't think we'd win that year. I don't think anyone was coming into that season thinking Juve was going to win it all, right? And it took they stuck around. They kept in distance, within fighting distance, and then Milan slipped and Juve ended up winning. So
yeah,
as long as you're in the contention, still there.
So,
man,
so
that's not even a good example. You can go back to the ones where when Sarri was at Napoli and we were like so far behind. I think we were like in 14th place, like 2 months in or 3 months into the season. And then like I think we had like the longest like win streak to like get back and like pull in front of them. Like Sarri's still having nightmares about that hotel room in Florence where.
Oh, I call that the FU Scudetto. That was like, yeah. give us this. That's the fuck you win. It would give us the biggest disadvantage possible, and we still. That was the peak of Juve fans being spoiled. Like we,
for sure, 100%.
We spotted them a lead. We started from
the relegation zone. Technically,
it's like running a race and letting the other person run for a minute straight. We're like, yeah, we'll eventually get there. Don't worry. We're just gonna chill here for a little bit.
That was quite ridiculous. But you know what? I'm ready for a Scudetto win, to be honest with you guys. I think we've given other teams something to celebrate for the next few years, but I feel like we should get this back. But anyway, speaking of that, thank you, our Instagram followers, like I mentioned, at Turin Giants. I posted, I don't know how to say it, maybe a question, if anybody wants to participate in the podcast. And Dylan Anzovino got back to us, and he posted actually something really interesting that I want to discuss with you guys. Juventus fans sometimes tend to expect too much from the club because of our history, and to some degree, that's right. But I, for the life of me, don't understand how we can complain about what has happened since Allegri took over again and rebuilt the squad. Am I crazy for thinking that we shouldn't even be here where we are right now? Like, I would have expected with this roster to be fighting for fourth, not the Scudetto. What are you guys' thoughts about that?
Agreed.
Yeah, I think preseason that was like, hey, you know, I know my brother and I talked about this, and one of my best friends is also a Juve fan. Like, what's the goal for the season? And we were like, top four, that's it. We were actually kind of down going into the season, think especially the way that last season ended. But we had to keep. And I have a friend who's a very, very positive, upbeat person. And he kept reminding me, like, Juve would not have finished outside of the top four had it not been for the point deduction. And as ugly as they were playing last year, they were still actually getting results outside of Europe, because that was a disaster on all accounts. It was a reminder that, like, yes, last year sucked, but mostly it sucked because of the point deduction coupled with ugly style of play. That being said, this year, there's no point deduction, knock on wood, that they don't find some other ridiculous reason to like take us out of the race. But knowing Italy, you never can count that out. And we've also found a way to play attractive, which is something.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
Do you think we're playing really attractive?
Let's not like say like it's absolutely champagne football here, but it's attractive. It's fun to watch. I actually enjoy watching games. Last year, I was not enjoying it. Like it was a slog to watch.
No, I completely.
Last year was like a couple. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead, man.
It was a stupid throwaway joke. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. So, I agree. I think like coming into the season, you always expect Juve to finish in Champions League zone, and I think, I was optimistic about them like kind of competing for the Scudetto, for sure. But with, some of the issues at the beginning, I think we had somewhat of a okay start. And then the Pogba suspension, and then the Fagioli suspension, and then we started seeing some injuries. I was pretty worried. At that point, I was like, midfield was one of, compared to Inter, it's not good. And then now we lose Pogba and Fagioli. And so now you got an issue with the numbers of players in there. So luckily, I have to say that Allegri has really dipped into the ranks of the team, even on the youth side, like the under 23 side, like the B team. And we've seen people just like rise up.
So that's been good. It's been encouraging to see. It's good for the club longer term because it gives us flexibility. And I do agree with Matt that we have been playing a better brand of football, you know, it, given the way that the team is built, which isn't built necessarily for, you know, champagne football.
All right. Another question from our one of our more most dedicated listeners. Amit, always good to hear from you. Always comments, always likes our stuff, always shares. We appreciate you. So he's asking a question, actually, which pertains perfectly to our previous discussion. He's asking, looking forward to this one. Well, that's not a question, but thank you. Thank you so much. He's actually one of the people who makes me keep this going because, you know, just when listeners say nice things, it makes you feel like, hey, you're doing this for someone who's actually enjoying this. But here's this question. My question is twofold. What would you guys say is the biggest reason for our incredible turnaround to become title contenders? And also more recently, the main reason for switching to play more exciting football, scoring lots of goals. It's literally what we were just talking about. What do you guys think is the, if you can pinpoint the reason, let's do the first one first. What's the reason for going from praying for spot number four to actually believing we can win the whole thing?
Yeah. I mean, I think I kind of talked about it. It basically, like, we actually weren't that bad last year from a points perspective.
No.
It's the deduction that really hurt us. So we were probably starting better off than most of us had given Juve credit for. Because it was so bleak finishing out of the European places and not playing attractive that we were like, no, we're bad. And it's like, actually, we weren't that bad. We just kind of forgot that. The turnaround itself, maybe not as like sharp as it seems. That being said, I think a lot of players getting more time together just probably helps. Like Vlahovic and Chiesa having a whole offseason to understand the system, and Chiesa becoming healthy, even though he still hasn't played as much as we would like. He has obviously helped out a lot.
And then my boy McKennie balling.
The turnaround of McKennie, like I smile ear to ear because he was getting so much hate. And props to him, he's really helped out. So I think that goes for a lot of players where they're all kind of realizing what they need to do. And I think it's a little bit of props of Allegri of putting the right people in place. Like Gatti is finally getting the starts week over week. And then we weren't seeing that last year when everyone was asking for it, like give Gatti more time. And now finally we're getting Gatti. And yes, the Sassuolo game was terrible. One of honestly the worst mistakes I've ever seen, but he's getting time. And then like Giovanni talked about injuries and well, injuries being Pogba and Fagioli suspensions have made him go into the depths. And that's actually, I think probably not even to his liking, he probably was like, oh, I have to turn to these people, and it's worked out, and now we're getting more appearances from the youth and they're starting to have a foothold, and with that they bring confidence, which I think has been an issue in the past.
Joanne, you want to take on the second part of the question, which is what's the reason, what's up with all the scoring, huh? What's up with that, Allegri? This is not like you. Like I said, the last previous games were threes. I also feel like it's because the teams we're playing, Lecce 3-0, Sassuolo 3-0, who actually have beaten us with scoring four against us, Frosinone 4-0, and it's not really that long of a period. We've only scored more than two goals in the last three games. Let's not go crazy yet. Joanne, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, man. Just waiting for you. It's a good question. I think it's just been an evolution of the team, just like getting a lot more confident. They've been playing, you know, together for a while, and I think Allegri now has found his right like rotation of players. And I think one big thing is the fact that like since Yildiz has been introduced.
Thank
He's
you.
He's brought in a type of player that, you know, fits with the formation and the type of, you know, tactics that, like, Allegri's doing from, from an attacking standpoint. And I think it marries better with, you know, what Vlahovic is doing now, a little bit more than, say, Chiesa, who had to adapt himself to become a support striker rather than a winger, who he is, right? So, you know, we might say that, like, in the future, maybe Yildiz, Chiesa, and Vlahovic might coexist together. We don't know. That might be a terrible idea. But I think, you know, just bringing in Yildiz and with him playing a lot closer to Vlahovic than, say, Chiesa would. And again, this isn't to knock Chiesa because I think he was successful at the beginning of the season when he wasn't injured. But I think that's like a big, you know, a big thing. And yeah, the other thing too is I feel like McKennie has been really, really good as a box-to-box midfielder, right? I think he's had the same impact of like Marquisio in his heyday in terms of, you know, bringing quantity and quality to that midfield.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about Yildiz just being a phenomenon? And every time he touches the ball, I'm like excited. I'm excited
yeah.
to see
yeah. what he's
gonna do. And it's like two defenders on him. I'm like excited to see how he's going to get out of it because he will. Yeah. And then that was the other thing too is like when Chiesa obviously is someone who can create separation, dribble by players, and he is someone who's going to probably deal with injuries for the rest of his career. And so when he wasn't available to play, there was no one else really on the field that could create their own opportunities. And now you definitely have that with Yildiz. And that's a massive asset now to have a second guy who can create his own opportunities.
And he's efficient. He's efficient. He's the what, like, I agree with you in the fact that, like, when he beats a player or beats two players, he does it in the most efficient manner possible without any extra. And it looks great. It's crispy. It's smooth. Mm-hmm. And then you see he's already thinking about two moves ahead. It's I'm surprised. I'm very surprised. I want to see him over a long period of time. And I want to see him this weekend.
Hmm. That's the next one, right? Like, can he do it against the big clubs week in, week out? But at the same time, to your point, like, he's very efficient and I think he's very smart. And defenders have to respect him, which for Juve is a big thing because basically at the end of last year, it was just defenders can just bully, just, you know, you put two people on Vlahovic and that's you shut down all of Juve's attack. Like, that's it.
Yeah, with Yildiz
now, you have to respect him.
Something I wanted to bring up. Yes, sir.
Is there something in the background playing?
I'm not hearing anything.
Okay. My bad.
No worries. Okay, I mean, I'll just talk and everybody can listen to me. Farhad, what were you going to say?
We're good now. I was going to bring up the fact that, you know, that fruitful partnership between Vlahovic and Yildiz, but Giovanni beat me to it. But curious enough, you know, last three games, Yildiz has started. You know, last two games, I was going to say all the games where we scored more than three goals, Yildiz played with Vlahovic, but the game against Frosinone, Yildiz actually started with Milik, who did bang in a hat trick. So that goes out the window. But yeah, I mean, adding Yildiz was a huge, huge deal. He's just very difficult for defenders to track. He doesn't care. He just goes through them, like Matt said. There's two, three people on him. He's going to do something exciting. So I do believe that was the turning point. Yildiz wants to score, does score, and man, if he wins, if he scores a significant goal in Derby d'Italia, it would be amazing.
Yeah,
and of course, big.
He hits this Del Piero celebration every time.
Yes. Also, he was saying
video today on I think Juventus's Instagram. Maybe it's today, maybe it's yesterday, and they were asking all the players, "Oh,
yeah,
who's your favorite player growing up?"
And then
that's right.
When everybody, there's a ton of Cristiano Ronaldos, a ton of them, a few old school Ronaldos, only one Del Piero, by the way,
which was Yildiz. Can we talk about Cambiaso and like his love for Cancelo? Like
he's a Cancelo.
Yeah,
Cancelo.
Yeah. I love McKennie.
I was like, really, bro?
I love McKennie saying Totti and being like, you're gonna hate me. And then everyone else is like, you know, Messi, Ronaldo, Maradona, and then you got Cambiaso's like Cancelo. It's like, what?
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
That's crazy. He should have said Lichtsteiner. How dare he?
No, Cambiaso's talked about how much he admires Cancelo. It's just, it's like something.
Speaking of Cancelo, thank you, Matt. This is one of those little side quests that we do that's not really on the menu of the Twin Giants podcast. But I did want to bring up, is there a more polarizing player that stayed with us less than Cancelo? People still argue about his impact and what he could have done if he wasn't sold. And it's just, it's ridiculous. He was with us for like 6 months, wasn't he? Maybe a year, right?
Danny Alves maybe would be the only one that was more controversial in his like 1 year stint.
No, but he's mostly regarded as, you know, he got, you know, helped us get to the Champions League final, and that was a successful loan spell. But Cancelo was just like not a factor. I remember him being responsible for some goals that he let in, that he, you know.
Well, that season when he joined, he like, at one point I think I even said, I was like, he might be a bigger sign, he might be a better signing than Ronaldo, because Ronaldo hadn't scored yet. I think at this point, and Cancelo had like contributed on like three or four games already goals. I'm like, this guy's amazing. Like, this dude is like the next best winger ever. And
but his defense was just so bad.
He came back down to earth, and then his defense is terrible. Here's the thing: like, I understand why people were upset, because then he went on to Man City. But then you look at Cancelo's career as a whole. Man City didn't keep him for too long, and then they bounced him to Bayern. Bayern said no, we don't want to keep him. Now he's at Barcelona. Now, granted, that's a hell of a resume, right? Juve, Man City, Bayern, Barcelona. That is like the best of, like, he's just going to the best clubs. But he has yet to really find a
home. But that's because it's all the people that can pay him and his agent.
Yeah, he's got Mendes, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Which, but like, he's still getting shots at all these clubs, but I think it speaks to his two-sidedness, where like clearly he has very good skills on the attack, but his lack of defense makes him a liability, to the point that all these teams are like, you know what? As much as we'd like to keep him, it's probably better off that we don't keep him.
Yeah.
100%. Well, yeah.
Here's a segue to players we might want to keep or might not want to keep. So nobody knew about this guy, 48 hours ago? Carlos Alcaraz?
I mean, I'll be honest, I haven't watched a single Southampton minute this year. So.
How dare you? You're not a real fan if you don't follow up with championship. But yeah, let's talk about this. I try to do as much research on him as possible. Dan Colosimo, he did a great, I think Matt mentioned it often or on the podcast, that go to Colo99 on YouTube and check out his highlight reel. But you know what? We're not little children here. We know that the highlight reels are you know, you pick in the best moments, obviously, but it does help you kind of familiarize yourself with the player. And we'll get to the nitty gritty, but I do want to read something from Reddit. By the way, shout outs to the Juve subreddit. Awesome guys. I kind of started following Reddit, Juve on Reddit again. It's a great community of fans. Shout outs to them. But anyways, here's a Southampton fan, sending a warning to Juve fans. So, fan favorite, due to his all-action style, if he's well-coached, he'll be a good player in the right system. Juventus fans, note, though, this guy doesn't play possession football. He doesn't pass backwards. He gets the ball, he runs. It doesn't matter if there's space or not, he'll run with it. He'll pass forward, he'll shoot, he'll dribble. Half the time, he runs into the opponent. His first touch gives it straight back to them. His passes are misplaced. His shot is wide. Other times, he takes the world-class first touch, dribbles past three defenders, and smashes it in the top corner. Fans will love him. Managers will hate him. So,
sounds like a stud.
Can't wait.
Yeah, sounds like someone we need. But you know what? My favorite part of the highlights was that he goes through the middle. I am so tired of playing by the wings. I'm so tired of playing with flanks and kind of like distributing the ball, and the center doesn't see it. So maybe we'll find someone who can, you know, penetrate the middle a little better.
I mean, he said he needs to be well coached. Well, like, he's stepping into a system on one of the greatest coaches in Serie A history. So, like, that might help him. The whole, like, he doesn't pass back. Well, that's wild in an Allegri system, because for a while, that's the only thing we could do well was pass back. Watching Locatelli and Gatti play pass back and forth.
Yeah, and still letting goals.
Gatti's
so good at passing back, he actually scores sometimes.
You guys remember when Nicolas Anelka was at Juve?
Yes.
Of course, the GOAT.
him and Bettner on the bench.
Him and Bettner, that's right. Okay, cool. I'll just leave those two names out there when we talk about this guy. Because I'm like, I woke up this morning, I'm like, who? The tennis player? Okay. And I was like, oh, he's from the Serie B of England? Okay. All right. Interesting. Great. I was like, okay. He could be great, or he could just be a very short loan spell that we won't even remember about 2 years from now. So, but
the terms of the deal are favorable, right? We're not paying a salary. 100%. And there's no obligation to buy, if I recall reading that. So
correct.
No
correct.
Obligation. Yeah.
Then it doesn't work out. It's great. At least we're not like with a Zakaria situation on our hand, where this guy came in and he was 6 months later. Like, why do we have this guy?
That was just Paratici and that other the guy, the salt and pepper guy. What's his? The guy that
the Juve daddy.
Arrivabene.
Arrivabene.
That's right.
Oh my God.
We're already.
Arrivabene finisce male. Okay.
Yeah. We blocked that out.
And he's done. Just, oh my God. What a dunderheaded move. What a stupid move.
Anyways. But going back to that, like, okay, so if he turns out to nothing, then we don't lose anything. It's great. If he turns out to be like the next Vidal, because that's what, like, I saw in the watching Colo's video, I'm like, oh, this guy. He's got that, you know, he'll fight through and whatever. And I'm just like, good, let's go. He's going to push forward. Let's go. We need that. So
let's do a little reading here. I'm referencing blackwhiteredallover.com, a really good Juve website. So Juventus announced Wednesday, the final day of the January transfer window, that they have signed a 21-year-old Alcaraz on loan with an option to buy from Southampton. In a deal that has a lot of numbers attached to it, Juve will pay the initial 3.7 million loan fee with another 1.9 million add-ons attached to it for the rest of the season. The big thing is the option to buy price, which is set at a whopping 49.5 million euro, which is more than the 35 to 40 million range that we had heard over the last day or so. Alcaraz was signed a brand new 5-year deal with Southampton in early October, will wear number 26 shirt at Juventus. Speaking of Lichtsteiner, he's the first player to officially wear number 26 since Lichtsteiner's departure. Wow. So it's all about this is a Lichtsteiner podcast. I'm telling you, Stefan Lichtsteiner podcast. But by the way, I posted that on Instagram, and some people know way, and I actually replied to the guy. I was like, I think you know way too much about Juve. He brought up a player that was on loan, never played for Juve. I think it was Candreva. He's like, oh, he wore 26. I looked it up. It's like he wasn't even wearing.
Candreva played for us, man. He was pretty good. I thought we should have kept him.
Anyways, he was officially the first player to wear number 26 for Juve. So, a lot of talk. So let's break it down into if he's actually a good player that we can use or not, and break down the financials of the deal. Whoever wants to take on the financial mumbo-jumbo of this deal, please go ahead. Like, but we kind of touched on it, that it's a pretty risk-free investment, right?
Yeah, and the price tag is steep for the buy option. Which means like he has to really come in and show up for us to want to trigger it. Like, so that I think is the only thing, right? Like, is he going to show enough? And if he does show enough, in a 6 month period, or, you know, 5 month period, basically, does that become like not enough time to really judge him? Because it happens that someone can come in, have a good spurt, and then trail off, and then you're stuck like, oh, I paid $50 million for this guy who's not that good. So there's that aspect of it, but
I don't know. Something tells me I just don't see this guy. I mean, he's going from Southampton to Juve. First of all, there's that pressure you need to work, you know, for 21-year-old to succeed at Juve. I just don't see them and Allegri gelling, to be honest with you. I feel like it's a, I don't know. I hope not. I like what I've seen, but to me, it's a disaster waiting to happen. Sorry, boys.
Okay, so he's dead on arrival. Got it.
No, but I just don't understand. Like, I've seen people mention word panic buy, and like, I don't understand. And you know, people mentioning all these players that could be on their way out. And even if we do buy him, is $50 million a great deal? But I don't know. But at least something is going on. At least Gentile is
like 5-0. You said that's the
50
clause to fully buying.
Wow. Yeah. That's the thing. It's kind of insane. So let me read this again. 3.7 million loan fee, with 1.9 million added. The big thing is the option to buy price, which is set at a whopping 49.5 million euro. Wild for a guy we haven't heard of, you know, 2 days ago. It's very non-Juve like, but that just makes me feel like that's not going to be triggered. But we'll see. It's always exciting to have a new player, a new team, especially an Argentina youngster. Maybe, you know, maybe I'm sitting here in a year as they're giving him, you know, number 11 or something, and I'm sitting here.
I'm happy to eat crow.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a stud. Like, I will be the first person to be like, yeah, man, I don't watch the championship. I thought he was a tennis player. I was wrong. I'm sorry.
That's going to be the joke all the time, is the tennis player thing.
Oh, 100%.
So this season, he...
Yannick Sinner for his first game.
Oh, my God. I've seen so many tennis jokes, and obviously everyone has seen it. So here's one from Reddit. I feel like that was the funniest one. Pretty mediocre jokes, but someone said that Federer is to come out of retirement next.
That's a joke. That's not the joke.
What
is that the joke? That's a
good. Not good. Yeah. No. Not good. Someone said that's what losing to Zverev does to a motherfucker.
Okay.
I don't know. I guess he lost to them. But anyways. I actually like tennis. I would love to go to U.S. Open. Anybody down to go?
You want to go? No, it's in New York. I could go. It's easy.
You ever drive to New York?
Is that really expensive?
U.S.
Open for sure.
I mean, everything in America, sporting events, any sporting event in New York is absurdly expensive. Even the crappy teams, like the Jets. Like, who's, you don't want to go to the Jets game, but it's still expensive to go to. Like, Knicks games are still expensive, and even when they were terrible, they're not terrible now. They're like mediocre, but even when they were trash, going to MSG was insanely expensive.
Yeah, I think I only go to sporting events now for my kids, like to show them. But it's mind blowing how expensive everything is. But yeah, anyways, Carlos Alcaraz. Actually,
can we talk about the other signing that like no one has actually talked about at all? The Thiago Jallo guy.
That's true.
I forgot that we signed him until today when he was on that Juve video asking who his favorite player growing up was.
Taran. And then McKinney's like, who? Like, are you serious, McKinney? Get out of here.
but yeah, like, this is a guy that we signed, and I have not heard anybody mention him at all. If he's even going to play or not, because wasn't he injured for a whole year?
Yeah,
I'll take the silence as nobody else knows he's anything about this guy.
Listen, man,
I read about him, but go ahead.
Nothing. No, I literally had nothing to say. Go ahead.
No, I just I was just saying that, like, I had read about him, and I mean, he's an intriguing buy because he is cheap. Worst comes to worst, ship him out, you amortize it, but if he blows up and he replaces Alexandro, this is gold, man.
He plays center back, though, right?
Yeah. But
like, pure center back, like, not first, like Sandro doing, like, the left and center situation.
But now I think, who do you have? I think you, especially if you go back to Champions League, you need a solid rotation because you have Rugani, who, give him his due, he's been solid. He hasn't made mistakes. Gatti is good. Bremer, really good. Danilo, really good. One of them gets injured. The other one gets a stomach bug. Who do you have? Yeah,
that's
so
good.
I think
point.
It's a good sign.
Yeah, I mean, and like you said, Rugani has been great as a backup, and I don't think you can do, honestly, as a fourth string center back, you could do a lot worse. And props to him, because there was a time where I wouldn't have said that, but the last couple of years he's actually turned it around as a sub, as a replacement, as a fourth string center back. I think we all agree, like, if you're talking a three man back line, it's Gatti, Bremer, and Danilo. That is the optimal three man center of this, if we're doing a three man back line. But then, yeah, like, if you're going into the Champions League games, can you really rely on Danilo next year, a year older, to play every game? No. Mm-mm. Gatti and Bremer will need days off. So yeah, you can't just only have one center back.
Yeah, Danilo is definitely on a downslide of his career. He's been great for what he's done so far, but I feel like it's time to start phasing him out slowly.
Yeah, I mean, but I wouldn't call it on a downside. How old is he? I think he's like 32, right?
Let me Google it real quick.
32.
He's got probably 2 to 3 more years. Top. Especially if he doesn't have any injuries. I mean, let's not forget, Chiellini was knocking on the door of 40 when he was still playing and killing it. So,
yeah, I mean,
that's... All right, boys. Let's, before we get to the Inter game, kind of discuss what we got, what we're up against on February 4th, this Sunday. Is there any game better than Derby d'Italia for a Juve fan? Honestly, no. I get excited 2-3 weeks ahead of the game, I swear.
No, there's no. It's the biggest. It's the best. It's the one it's the rival I hate the most, obviously, that most Juve fans will say they hate the most. Social media has made rivalries, like, so much more toxic in general, but like, growing up, all of us remember the days before social media. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't have, like, that vitriol hate for all the other teams like I've always had for Inter. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just always been there.
You're preaching to the choir, yeah. Baby.
Like, I never hated Roma growing up. I never hated Milan. Lazio, I kind of always hated. But,
yeah.
It's for different reasons.
Different reasons, exactly. Yeah.
Lazio is the same thing. Lazio, I was like, screw those dudes. Inter, same thing. Never liked them. So,
yeah.
Just kicked their ass this weekend.
Oh.
Like, it would be so great just to stump them. Are we playing them in Milan?
Correct.
Oh man.
Yeah, which makes me think we won't win that game. I'm just trying to be realistic. I obviously hope we do. But it'll be tough. It'll be tough, the support. And by the way, my little nephew, who I turned to a Juve fan, that's his first Juve game in his life, and he's going to the game at San Siro. Is that freaking unbelievable?
That's amazing.
Or
what? That's wild.
I know.
He's gotta get a win.
Speaking of ridiculous prices, you don't want to know how much his mom and, he's going with his mom. He's a younger kid. He's like 15. The prices, the tickets are just ridiculous. But I told her, I was like, whatever you pay, he's a great soccer player. Kid in ninth grade plays with like a varsity team. So for him, that would be just the most amazing experience, which I am really jealous of. And I have mentioned it to him and his mom. But yeah, that game for Juve fans is everything. Twice a year, it's the most fun. By the way, if you're in the Chicago area, please come watch with us at AJ Hudson's and support your local fan club. We are official here in Chicago, and there's a lot of there's a new club every month, maybe in here in the U.S. So if you're in a if you live near a big city, join them. And that's how I met Matt. We used to be part of Juventus Southern California fan club.
Yeah, I just searched on Facebook like Juve fan club, and your like Facebook group popped up, and I was like, hey,
let's go, let's go. Yeah. The game.
Facebook groups, man.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah. 2010 2011. Sorry, yeah, 2011.
You find Matt sitting there with his Boddington,
drinking my Boddingtons. Yep.
You still do?
I don't ever find it. So like, I never see it on. On tap, I'm like, yes, give it to me. But I never see it on tap anymore. So
my boy was dedicated to those beers, man. It
became the lucky beer. It became what I had to drink.
Hey, 9 years in a row, we won, man. Yeah, but honestly, when Matt moved away from Los Angeles back to Boston, that was a big blow. We had some good times. We do the podcast. We go play soccer somewhere. We watch the games together. He's a good pal of mine. I think we should get into the Inter game, right? If anything else pops up, which I'm sure it will, I'll kind of sprinkle it in. You know how we do. Big game.
I'm
just trying to search for something here.
It's going to determine the rest of the season. If they go out and they lose, then you know that probably means the gap is too much. You'd have to ask Inter to drop a lot of points. But mm-hmm. you go out and you win.
So if we win, follow me, folks. They will have one game in hand. We will have 56 points. They'll have 54. So if they win one game to even us out in terms of games, they'll be only 1 point ahead. So this is a must win. Let's not, how do you say that? Hatch those eggs before we get there, or cross that bridge before we get there, or whatever. But yeah, that's just
go count your chickens.
I'm a goddamn immigrant.
An old Trapattoni one. Don't say cat if you don't have it in the sack.
Love it. That's Uncle Giovanni there with the old.
Perfect bell ring there too. I was right on cue.
I love it. But yeah, what do you guys think about their form right now? Obviously, I've read you guys the latest.
I mean, there's no denying they're playing incredible.
Yeah.
I didn't think they would continue to just like keep it this high level. And they are. They're winning. They keep winning. And it's really annoying. I really want them to lose. But now that being said, you know, you look over their games. December 17th, Lazio gets a red card. December 23rd, Lecce gets mm-hmm. a red card. January 6th, Verona gets a red card. January 22nd, Napoli gets a red card. What's going on there? Why is everyone who's playing Inter getting red cards? Putting my tinfoil cap on. It's tinfoil cap time.
Speaking of tinfoil hat, the boys over on YouTube side, they do a show called Tinfoil Hat. I didn't mention our YouTube channel, which is, you know, chock full of content for true Juve nerds. If you want a real breakdown of the game, please head over to YouTube. Dave and Dash, they do an awesome job, and they just did a pregame not too long ago. They do have a tinfoil hat where they discuss conspiracy theories and such. Oh, something I wanted to bring up. Speaking of, Dash is a huge fan of Keane, and he kind of slid under the radar, and now he's on his way out, seemingly to Atletico Madrid.
No, he's not. He's back.
He's not.
He failed his medical.
Oh my god!
One of my friends texted me. He's like, Keane misses so much. He even missed his medical.
My god, that's awful. I don't know. Call me old fashioned, or call me I don't know. I don't like the whole thing, side quests that he's been doing, and I can't help but think that's affecting his performance.
Yo, but his song's a banger, I'll say.
All right, Matt is sending us messages here that he needs to go soon. Boys and girls, I really hope you enjoyed this. I tried to give you a lot more content, a lot more segments here on this podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. Giovanni, Matt, you guys are the best.
All right. Always fun kicking with you guys. Love it.
I think we can all agree that we hope Matt comes on the podcast a little more often than he has, but he's been busy, we understand. But if you're available, we're always happy to have you. Giovanni, you coming to the game this Sunday?
Is it Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday.
Sunday.
Oh, I might.
You know you're the vice president of the fan club, right?
My Juve solo.
What'd you say?
I'll probably make it.
Let's go. It's actually a pretty big group gathering. It's gonna be fun. I've been getting messages from new members. You know, starting a club from zero is always so fun because you see people, you know, repeating and coming again and again, and you know, new people joining, and you see these little relationships and friendships form, and people really enjoy watching with a group as opposed to maybe like with scrolling Twitter on the couch. So I'm really excited about our new fan club. Hope to see you guys. Hope we are celebrating a win on the next episode. It will be a game of the season so far.
Winning pod. It will be great.
What'd you say?
I said a winning pod.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, the winning, we can all agree, winning pods are always a lot more interesting than talking about the loss. But we still do it. That's why we are 240 episodes in, right?
Yeah. I will say, shout out to everyone on Twitter, though, who interacts with me when I'm tweeting about the games. I do appreciate y'all, even if I don't respond because I'm terrible. Like, I never know what to say back when someone's like, if I'm like, man, I can't believe Yildiz did, like, that was great. And then they'll be like, totally, like, that was such an awesome move. And then I'm just like, I don't know what to say now, but I agree. I usually give like the give it the heart. Like,
yeah.
Shout out to all of you who ever comment on my stuff.
Oh, but what's your Twitter? Follow Matt too. He's a good follow.
Matt Coco. At Matt Coco. I talk a lot about Juve. I also talk about film stuff sometimes. Shout out to at Juve FC and I were talking about Past Lives not getting nominated for Best Director and Best Actress. Great movie. Should have.
We can. I don't know. Last time I watched the Oscar-worthy movie, well, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer was really good.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah. What a movie! But watching it on TV is just so not the same experience.
Yeah, I saw that at like the biggest IMAX theater I could find.
That's right. That's right. It was IMAX all the way, and that oh, man, it was amazing. Anyways, we'll save that for the next podcast, Matt. Boys, thank you. That was fun. Appreciate you guys.
For sure. All right, man. Take it easy.
All right, boys and girls. Stay hydrated. Check on your friends. And Forza Juve.